8. And I have a little baby Bible here with the name Giorgio on it. So it looks like we're having a baby dedication. Is Giorgio in the house? He's getting changed. Okay. Well, that's a good idea. And all the people around just said amen. Yeah, we appreciate that. We got little yogurt machines all over the house now. Since last August, it's been baby and baby and baby. And now it's baby dedication and baby dedication. We've got another couple coming. And we're excited about them coming. We've already put up a wall, thanks to the men and the mechanical team. A couple of Saturdays ago, threw up a wall in there. That'll be finished here pretty quick. And we're going to have an additional nursery area. And we're going to have to increase Sunday school space somewhere. I'm in the process of talking right now to the Brother Jerry and Brother Mike, and talking to them about hanging a little metal building back here in the back just to get us some storage and get us some extra Sunday school space. So you be in prayer with us about that, and think about things like that when you're doing your launch into the deep offering. We got to have some room, folks. We're just about to have all these babies are about to start taking up a lot of room. Praise God. And the Sunday school area is full. It's wall to wall. There's not room for anything else over there. And we're sending out buses for more. What's wrong with us? Well, we just believe that as we cast the net and catch the harvest, God's going to make a way. We believe that God's going to create everything we have need of. So we're gonna preach to Giorgio this morning and actually dedicate him at the end of the service. And that is kind of a euphemistic thing there, because we don't actually dedicate babies, we dedicate parents. And there's a mandate in the Word of God that they bring those babies up in the nurture of God. Psalms 128, and let's stand as we look at the Word of God tonight, this morning rather. Would you say, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall be the man, that thus shall the man be that, let's start this again. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Listen to me this morning. This is not wishful thinking. This is the Word of God. Our founding fathers promised you the chance, the pursuit of happiness, but the Word of God said, happy shall be the man that feareth the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We give you thanks, O God. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. I don't want to hear what the devil has to say. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. You may be going through a valley, but you're not wrong when somebody inquires to say, I'm blessed. When somebody asks about you in your life, you're right to say, I'm blessed. Job lost everything he had, but he fell on his face, tore his garments, and he said, blessed be the Lord God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. If you would have asked Job that day, he would have said, I am blessed of God. Well, praise God. Habakkuk said, the fields are barren and the stalls are empty, and I don't have anything good going on in my personal economy. But he said, yet will I joy in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. What did they know? They knew that you, if you are fearful of the Lord and you trust in God and you're living for God, that there's a blessing on the way. I may not have it in my pocket right now, but I've got better than that. I've got the Word of God. There's a blessing on the way. There's something good. Come on, you got to get over on the winning side of this. There's something good on the way. You'll eat the labor of your hands and you'll be happy and it'll be well with thee. It's all right for you to sing, it is well with my soul. If you live long enough, you'll go down to the hospital. If you live long enough, you'll walk away from the gravesite wiping the dust off your hands. But you can still sing, it is well with my soul. Because I've got a promise that's bigger than this life. I've got a promise that goes over and transcends to the other side. I've got an anchor that goes through the veil and it's lodged in the power of the word of God. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Giorgio needs to know this. He needs to hear this and understand the only winning proposition for him in this world. It doesn't matter if he's Italian or Latino or half of each. It doesn't matter what his ethnicity or his origin or his economic background or his educational level. The only winning proposition in this life is to live for God. Hollywood can't bless you. Politics can't bless you. The president can't save you. My God, you need to get on God's side. The only winning proposition in this world is to be right with God. Nothing else matters. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Travis, the devil will come to you and say, well, if I just had another wife. But that ain't happening. That's why you bought her that shotgun. It just occurred to me, I'm a fool. I took my wife down to the pistol range 2 weeks ago. And she's good. Filled Osama full of holes. I gotta be good. Praise God. We want Giorgio to understand that no matter what he chooses in life, wherever life takes him, the vagaries of life are something you cannot control. You have certain degree of control over your plans and your goals, and your destiny is ultimately in your hand, but only if you tie it together with faith and the word of God. He needs to understand that the most important thing in his life, mother's love is going to be important. Daddy's care is going to be great. Extended family is a powerful thing. But if you are in this house today and you don't have a mother or a father, the word of God said God will take you up. You are not operating at a terminal deficit. You are not operating at a place where you can't be reclaimed or you can't stand in the power of God. I'm telling you, above all my earthly connections and above all my earthly achievements, the God factor in my life is going to prove to be the most necessary and the most important thing. Somebody say the God factor. I've got to have the God factor in my life. Wherever, whatever, however, I've got a factor in. I've got a hidden variable here that I can plug into any equation in life, and it's going to change it for my good. Well, praise God. He looked just like a normal shepherd boy. It looked like a mismatch, the giant on one side and the shepherd boy on the other side. But that simple stone and that simple sling was made into a giant killing machine because of the God factor. Somebody say the God factor. You may be small compared physically to your enemy or the mountain that's before you, but when you factor in the God that loves you, friend of mine, no giant is going to be able to stand before you. Somebody say praise the Lord. A stone becomes a missile. A sling becomes an art of war. Not just another nomadic tribesman. He's standing out under the stars, and for some reason we don't know where that initial connection was. He looked like thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of others that roamed the wilderness of Ur. But it wasn't just another nomad, because the God factor began to work in his life. And around you today, everything that calls itself Christian rattles its chain back to Abraham and all of the nations of Islam rattle their chains back to the children of Abraham. And everything that's Jewish rattles it. I'm telling you, one man brought forth a multitude like the stars of the heavens and the sand of the sea. It should have been impossible, but God was factored into the equation. They look just like another crossroads for empire building. Little Israel sat there in a place where the Persians would march and the Babylonians would march, and yet the Romans again and the Greeks before them. They would all march through that place and lay claim to it, not because of its great riches or value, just because it was on the way to another place they were conquering. But do you know that Israel has outlived Babylon, and Israel has outlived mighty Persia? Israel has outlasted the Medes. Israel has outlasted the Greeks and the Romans. That seems impossible. They've been scattered all over the world for 2,000 years. Now they're back. Impossible. But God was factored into the equation. And when you factor in God, all bets are off. Nothing in the natural matters. Praise God. It looked just like another fishing trip, but the net was so filled, it almost sank the boat because Jesus came on board the boat. It looked just like another Middle Eastern funeral, a little town called Bethany. Another body, another tombstone, another in the long litany of those that passed through the highway of life. But God came on the scene and God called out his name, and all the laws of nature couldn't hold him back when he heard Lazarus come forth, and he broke forth out of that place. And my God, it might seem like the end of your life, and it might seem like a heartbreaking experience that has no remedy. But when you factor in God, everything changes. Somebody say everything changes. My God, if you're up against a wall right now, if you've got a difficulty in your life that seems insurmountable, something you need you just can't reach, I'm telling you, God makes the difference when you factor in God. I want this baby to hear it. I want him to know it. Brother Augustine, I want him to know he's not just an ordinary baby. I want you to begin to sing to him from the time he's old enough to make eye contact with you. You're not an ordinary baby. You've got God in the house. You've got God in your life. God is weaving himself all through the tapestry of your life. You've got the God factor. No giant's going to be big enough. No mountain's going to be big enough. Wherever you go, you're going to walk with an angelic host. He needs to know this. He needs to understand it. He needs to think that the NFL is curious, but not worthy of worship. He needs to think that the World Cup is interesting, but not a matter of passion. That's pretty tepid applause there. He needs to understand that God in his life is going to be the most significant, the most important factor that he'll encounter in the course of his life. Praise God. Nothing else matters. When you're a teenage girl, it just seems like a guy is a really important thing. And when you're a teenage guy, the whole world is a young girl. But none of that matters without God. Oh, if you could hear it today and not have to reinvent the wheel. Talk about tepid response. Praise God. It looked just like another Jewish cross. Just another crucifixion. But God was involved in it. Literally thousands before him had died on Roman crosses. But this was different because death didn't have a claim and hell couldn't take control of him. And the stone, the grave could not hold him. Because God was, I'm telling you, you may not see a way out, but when you factor in God, I'm telling you, it may not make any sense that there's going to be a way of escape now, but when you factor in God, you may be singing against chained to the wall of a prison at midnight. It might seem like the end is right there with you, but when you begin to factor in God, my God, the possibilities are endless. Everything changes. Natural law is suspended. When you factor in God, it may seem like a normal prayer meeting, but it becomes a portal to another world. It may look just like a normal Sunday morning service, but it becomes a life-altering experience because God is in the house. Praise God. My God, I feel Holy Ghost all over this morning. Praise God. You may look just like another suit in the office, but when God walks in with you, you become a change agent for another world and for the cause of God. You may look just like another kid in your school. You may just look like another young person in your school, but you have walked in and laid claim to the place by the name of Jesus. You've walked in as an ambassador from another world, from another kingdom. You become an insurgent force because God is factored in. He needs to know this. You're going to emphasize education. You're going to emphasize hard work and honesty and all the things that are representative of the code of God and His kingdom. You're going to emphasize those things, but all of those things come down from a higher source, and that source is God. He's got to know that He is the Father above all things and that He is the source of every blessing. He is the ultimate source authority. Every good gift and every perfect comes down from the Father of lights who is above, and He's not about to change. He needs to know that. Praise God. Somebody say He needs to know that. In the middle of a world that's forgotten about God, in the middle of a generation that is in pursuit of hedonistic goals and aims, and every man doing that which is right in his own eyes and the pursuit of their personal passions, he needs to know that there's a God with a plan for his life and a destiny for him that holds him in the palm of his hand. Praise God. He needs to know that. Praise God. Psalms 123. And what we're going to do is just run from 123 to 128 here just briefly because they are woven through with the same theme here to a good degree this morning. Psalms 123, verses 1 and 2. Everyone say, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Praise God. Now, everybody wants God in their life. Most everybody claims God in their life. Interview drunks on bar stools in Birmingham and you're going to find people of faith that know God. They'll tell you they know God. And they quote scripture to you. And here in the Bible Belt, even the drunks know the word of God pretty well. But there is a criteria that activates the God factor in my life. It's not just something that you have because you desire it. But it comes by relationship. The psalmist said, I'm looking up. I've got my eyes on you, Lord, and I'm just like a servant at the door. I'm watching your hand in the slightest little direction from your hand. I'm there. I'm ready to serve. I'm willing to serve. I've set my agenda on the side. I've set my goals down because I've found something out about life and God. I've found that as I tether my life to God and to His kingdom, that I come into possession of the things that I was seeking. You need to hear that today. You're going to achieve your dreams and your goals faster tied to God than you ever would on your own, because God's going to make a way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. There is an attached condition there. And all of these things will be added unto you. You're looking for wealth, the fastest way to that. You're looking for prosperity, the fastest way to that. A healthy home, good relationships, a happy walk through life. The best way to do that is to plunge headlong into the kingdom of God. Stand at station in the palace of the king. Get the God factor hovering over your life. And when he just moves, you say, I'm gone. I'm about it right now. I'm on it. I'm taking care of it right now. When God moves, you're watching, you're listening, you're his servant. Praise God. You want the God factor moving in your life. This child needs to understand the principle of servitude, the principle that Jesus is Lord. A lot of people in our world say that Jesus is Lord, but unless he's your sovereign, your ruler, your master, and you do what he says, he's not Lord in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 declares that you can't even say he's Lord without the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost before you can even say that Jesus is your Lord. It doesn't mean that if you say it, you've got it. It means you can't say it unless you have it. Praise God. Praise God. The God factor in your life, Giorgio, is going to be activated by relationship. And by an understanding of servitude and the fact that you're going to stand ready to serve God at all times. And he takes precedence over everything else. You as a parent will time after time break the heart of your children. But you and your home are in the service of the king. And the child doesn't understand what's good for him, but you do. And serving God will never be bad for the child. So you plunge headlong, you and the children, into the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. And position and alignment and attitude. Praise God. Lined up with the word of God. In position, like a servant, standing ready. So that if he just gives you a look, you're gone. You're ready. Yes, sir. How high? How far? How fast? Praise God. Dustin, you're a pilot. What's as important as altitude? Huh? Your speed? And what's that business about how the wings are with the horizon and the nose is? Huh? Attitude? I thought attitude was here. Well, this is interesting. You call that attitude? And it's important? Why? So you don't flip over. Well, if I'm riding with you, yeah, I don't want you flipping over. Yeah, because you can be just screaming at the sun with great speed, but what's going to happen ultimately? You're going to slow, you're going to stall, you're going to fall. That's right. And Brother Jim talked to us a long time ago about how vertigo sets in, how when you're not a qualified pilot, you fly around the clouds. You don't want to get in them because when you get in them, you lose your sense of attitude. Isn't that funny? And you can think you're flying perfectly level with the horizon and you're barreling straight down toward the earth. It's a funny thing because all your sensories are telling you, we're good, we're fine. I'm great. I'm all right. I'm saved. Got my card in my pocket. I'm just fine. On the way down, going to be a little ball of fire down there and somebody's feel you bought the farm, they say. Attitude. So attitude is going to be extremely important in having the God factor work in your life. And it's not just here. But it's in how you are aligned with the governing dynamics of life, which proceed forth from the Word of God. So you have to be aligned with the governing dynamics. That means you can't be a smart mouth kid to your parents because your attitude's you're not flying right. I hope none of you have ever had them say, you better straighten up and fly right. But it really has some legitimacy to it. It's talking about attitude, right? And if you can't get that right, let me tell you what. If you can't get that right, you can't get it right on the job. You can't get it right in society. You won't get it right with a wife. Attitude. Why? Because I want the God factor in my life. Well, praise God. I was teaching a Bible study over at the Culver's the other night, and Brother Monty and I are studying now because Sister Erica's out in preparation and planning on Tuesday nights now. So Monty and I are doing a little male bonding there in the Bible study. And we are going through the Bible study, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So we're studying it. And I give him the royal treatment on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's about authority, the hierarchical authority structure in the kingdom of God, God, Christ, man, woman, children. And God's chosen symbolism for submission is the covering. For a man, short hair, and for a woman, long, uncut hair. And she wasn't there, so he had to teach it to her when she came home, which I think is a wonderful arrangement. I think it's great. And so he's teaching it to her, and he says, do you know why the angels care about your hair? Because 1 Corinthians 11 says a woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels. I'll give you a multiple choice. A generator on her head? The whole chapter is about submission. So it's authority on her head, but the physical sign of submission is hair. Uncut hair. He said the angels get creeped out when you don't have that symbol of authority on your head because they remember the first rebellion in the heavens, and they've got a healthy streak of paranoia about rebellion. They've got the right attitude. They want the God factor in their life. Well, praise God. Attitude. Position. A servant's mentality. My eyes are on you, Lord. I'm watching. I want to see what you want for my life. Praise God. You see, everybody wants the blessings of God. But it's a two-way street. Everybody wants the goodness of God in their life. But you can't be fooling around with the world. You can't be playing footsie with the world and have the anointing and blessing and goodness of God continuing in you. You can't have it both ways. Praise God. The first two commandments, the most important commandments, are all about relationship. Everybody say relationship. To have the God factor, the blessing and the power of God moving in your life, you have to be oriented toward His desires, toward His goals. What does God want? I know your heart and your world is saying, whatever you want, whatever you feel, what's best for you. They've gotten so far along with it that it doesn't matter about the kids. The kids are resilient. The kids will bounce back. You need to follow your heart. Well, it's from where I'm standing, your kids are plenty enough reason to stay involved in a vow that you took before God. I know our world, but that's being oriented to God's agenda and to God's desires. The first two commandments are love God and love people. Praise God. Dustin, can you get me Mark chapter 12 and verse 28? Elbow your neighbor and tell him he's talking about the God factor. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he perceived that he, Jesus, had answered them well. And the scribe asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And he doesn't mean in the list. He means the most important commandment. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, and everyone say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's not the commandment, but that's the preface to the commandment, because you can forget about the commandment if you don't know who He is. You can't love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength if you don't know who he is. If you think God is schizophrenic, or you think there's three of them, or two of them, or 50 of them, you can't have this relationship with God that's necessary for this factor to be moving in your life. So the first commandment is Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30, and everyone say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The psalmist said, I'm looking to God. God is my help. And I'm standing here in this relationship, aligned with him, responsive to him, oriented to him. I have a relationship. He is a priority in my life. Now, it's interesting to me that that everything hinges on relationship. Everything hinges on relationship. And the first two commandments are about relationship. The first thing he needs to know, more important than kicking a soccer ball, the first thing he needs to know is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And I've got to love him with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. Is Giorgio in the house? Is he hearing this? Okay, there he is. He looks like he's sleeping, but he's just concentrating. He's listening to the word. Praise God. And so God places in this conversation, go to the next. And the next. And the next. Yeah, that way. And the scribe said, you're right, master. He's talking to Jesus. He said, there's no other than God. And go ahead. And to love him with all your heart, understanding, soul, strength, and to love your neighbor is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. What he just said was the whole law hinges on those two verses on relationship. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And what he gives us there is a place to enact, or a place to live out our devotion to God. Because frankly, God's a spirit and you can't see God. And you can't do good to God every day, and you can't get angry with God and show your bad side. So God gives you people in your life to do that with. And so you live out your love for God by your love for her. That's right. And so if I love you and I do well at loving you, then I display my love for God. He said, "Can how in the world can you say you love God that you've never seen when you don't love people? You're a racist or a bigot. You don't love God. You don't even know God. Let me jump on that again. If you're a racist or a bigot, you don't even know God. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. But we just don't want them coming to our church. Oh, Jesus. Well, praise God. My grandmother was a godly woman. She was also the grand dragon of the KKK. Well, let's clear things up. She might have been the grand dragon, but she wasn't a godly woman. Well, praise God. Because I live out my devotion to God by living out my love for you. And in relationship, Sister Hagedorn, he won't even let me bring my offering until I get it right with you. That's right. Here, God, I have a nice offering for you. I'm personally bringing enough to build a new sanctuary. I hear the voice of God. He sounds like Sister Hagedorn. Well, go back and make it right with. Well, you don't know what they did to me, though. They beat me every day. They stabbed me in the back and talked bad about me. Smeared my name. Broke my heart. Used and abused me. But God, I'm bringing you an offering big enough to build a sanctuary. I don't care about it. I don't need your money. I need you to be right with your brother. I need you to be right with me. And the way you get right with me is to get right with your brother. You can't be right with God and wrong with your brother. You can't be right with God and wrong. Sitting over here on this side shouting and clapping and praising God. And going home and eating people for lunch. Did you hear that? Did you see that? Can't do that. Because you're shouting and dancing. You might as well be down at the bar drinking beer. I don't recommend it. I'm just saying. For all the good it's doing you, not doing you any good. I am right. I'm right. You got to love people. Relationship. Everybody say relationship. We're talking about the God factor in your life, but you can't. Psalms 123 says, I'm standing in his palace room. I'm watching his hands. I'm oriented toward him and his goals and his desires. I am in relationship with him, and I am subject to his slightest whim. That activates the God factor in my life because I'm on board with God. Well, praise God. Woo! Feel the Holy Ghost all over this, Brother Jimmy. Praise God. You want the God factor moving in your life? It'll cause you to kill the giants, tear down the mountains. It'll cause the supernatural to break loose in your life. You'll be able to reach further than you can reach in the natural. And provision will come your way when you don't have any way of making ends meet. The God factor changes everything, but you can't have it moving in your life and be at odds with everybody and hate people and stay angry. If you're angry all the time, it's not the people around you. Here's a wake-up call. It's you. If you're having the same problem with everybody, I'm having the same problem. People are so stupid, I'm having the same problem with everybody. We're going to wait for that to echo back in you to hear what you just said. Could it be that you might be the problem? Could be. Praise God. The God factor. Giorgio, we want you to have the God factor moving in your life. Giorgio, we want you to know God in the power and in the demonstration. Praise God. You're going to teach him this? You're going to tell him this? We're going to have to finish this tonight. Is he coming back tonight? We'll go ahead and dedicate him this morning. We won't make him wait for the culmination of this message. Praise God. How about you, Augustine, since I'm preaching to him and he's asleep? You're going to have the God factor moving in your home? Got to be in alignment. Got to have the right attitude. Now he's sounding off. Okay, we'll go a little further and then I'll stop. Psalms 124, 1 and 2. Would you say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side? Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now this is a psalm that they're going to sing and they're going to say it one after the other. And they're going to take turns saying it. Psalmist says it and then he says, let's let Israel say it. And we could start over here and with every true-hearted person who knows about walking in the kingdom of God, everybody in this house would stand and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, my God, I don't know what would have happened. The implied meaning is I would have gone down. I would have long been ruined. I would have lost my life. life or my sanity or my home, but I see God reaching. You know what? I have walked through life and I've looked back over my shoulder years before when I didn't even know that I was in danger. I didn't even know that a predatory spirit was in the room, but God quickens it to my mind maybe 10 or 15 years later, and it's like cold chills all over you. My God, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, God kept me when I didn't have sense enough to keep myself. Is there a testimony in this house? Is there somebody here that can say, if it had not been for the Lord who is on my side? Praise God. It looked like I was done, but I had something going on. It was the God factor in my life. It looked like I wasn't going to make it, but all of a sudden the equation changed because I had God in my life. The devil thought he had me where he wanted me, but I had a secret weapon. I found myself a place of prayer, and I began to call on a name that was above every name. And all of a sudden, is there a witness in this house? Have you seen things change with no reasonable explanation? Have you seen lives change without any reason or rhyme attached to it? It's got to be God. Our brother Sam Emery said it's a God thing. It's just a God thing. We don't even understand how he did it. We don't care how he did it. We're just glad to have God moving in our lives. Giorgio needs God moving in his house. He's going to get to a place where daddy can't help him, where mama can't reach him, where grandma and grandpa just don't have the strength to help him or bail him out. He's going to need a place of prayer, an understanding that when my mom and my dad can't help me, and when I'm beyond the reach of human salvation, I can call on a God who's always promised to be with me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, if you sure enough know that God saved your bacon, go ahead and shake your neighbor a little bit and tell him, oh, if it hadn't been for the Lord that was on my side, I don't know what would have happened to me. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Sutton and I'm driving down a little country road outside Baton Rouge, and on our way home from church, and it's dark out there, and there's no street lights out there, and I'm rounding a curve on a little two-lane road, and there's another car coming, and you know you got that momentary blindness. You can't really see anything, and a big old voice just up in my life said, stop! And I'm in a whoop! I cranked down on that six-cylinder Comet. I put my foot through that master cylinder. That raw power didn't want to stop, but it had to. And when we stopped, we were about from me to you, from the back of a big old red horse that was dead in that road and laying with his back to us, and that little car would have hit that however many pounds of horse, and we'd have been off into the night. And my wife was the whole time saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then she saw the horse, and she was, what? I said, you didn't hear that? Because it was audible. Big voice, like you, it didn't matter who you were going to stop. Big voice, like daddy's voice. She didn't hear it. It wasn't in the car. It wasn't in the air. If it had not been for the Lord who is on my side. Now let Israel say. Now let New Life say, if it had not been. Now let all the daddies who's lived this a little while and all the mamas who's walked this a little while, let them say, if it had not been. Boy, has anybody been stupid? Has anybody just walked off in a pit of stupid? And if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, has anybody been blind? My God. Giorgio needs the God factor in his life. Because there are going to be days when he doesn't even see it coming. And after it's over, he's going to pause at a green light for no reason. I don't know how many times I've done that. Just pause for no reason. And about the time I should have been in the middle of the intersection, what's going on there? God factor. God factor. It's a God thing. God's moving on our behalf. Praise God. He needs that in his life. There are going to be predatory spirits that come to claim him. But God promised he had set a hedge about him. The world is going to try to eat him up. But God said, I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He needs that in his life. Praise God. Praise God. I can't finish. I can't make us get to Psalms 128 yet. So we'll finish this tonight. Why don't you all stand here? We're going to have an altar call before you guys come down. Why don't we do that? Praise God. This altar is open right now. If you are out of alignment and you are not in proper attitude and you're not standing in the palace room of God watching him and oriented toward his desires, and you don't have your life in congruence with God, but you want that God factor moving in your life, come on down to this altar. And let's just get it right. Let's make it right. Praise God. Praise God. God, I've got aught against my brother. I've got aught against my sister. I've got an old grudge, an old wound. I've got a relationship problem. Lord, that person may never change, but I want you to just excise this attitude out of my life right now. I'm going to leave it here with you at this altar. I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to trust you that you're going to take care of me and it and them. Praise God. Somebody needs to turn loose of all the old things. You got to do this because you can't get right with God. Turn loose of all the old things. Turn loose of all the bitter things. You can't fix it anyway. It's already over with. Praise God. You say, can you just do that in an altar? Yeah. The God factor is moving here in this altar right now. He'll set you free. He'll turn you loose. You can walk away from those things. You won't ever forget them, but you don't have to suffer with them. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, I want you moving in my life. God, I want you ministering in my life. God, I want your hand on my family. Lord, I need your presence. I need you to speak to me in a time of trouble. I need your deliverance. This morning, this would be a beautiful moment to receive it. If you've never been filled with the Spirit speaking in other tongues, God, I'll give that to you right now. give him some praise? Clap your hands, lift your voice. We magnify you. We worship you, Lord God. Glory to God. Praise God. Brother Augustine, if you and Abby would bring your baby down now with grandparents and aunties and uncles, Dios and Tias, and what is it in Italian? Nanas and nonos. And there's other people in this crowd. Okay. Honorable others. You're the American grandmother. Okay. We just work with it however it comes. Okay. Praise God. This is really just precious and awesome and wonderful. And God has blessed you with a beautiful baby boy and given you great privilege and great responsibility. And because of your mother and your father before you, and because of your coming into this extended family, you've come into the truth of the Word of God, the apostolic truth that was practiced by the first generation church. And the world has long since gone off in its own directions. But you have this marvelous opportunity to project the truth of the Word of God into another generation. What a blessed couple and household you are. Praise God. And as we're dealing with this morning, you want to ingrain that idea of God in the morning, in the evening. The Word of God says in the same passage where he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He said, "Teach it to them while you're walking in the way with them. Teach it to them when they stand up and when they sit down. Write it on the door facings. Make it like a frontlet between your eyes." Everything he does. See, people think we are extravagantly involved in God, way overboard, fanatic about the things of God. But you can't be. Because the Word says, when you sit down, when you stand up, when you're walking in the way, at the house, at the restaurant, down at the school, at the church house, every part of his life speaking the same beautiful truth to him. There's a God in the heavens. He came down and robed himself in flesh and gave himself a sacrifice for you. I have a Bible with his name on it. I'm going to give it to you, but only if you promise before God and all his angels and these witnesses that you're going to raise him up in the truth. Praise God. You promise. It's a vow. Got to do it. Got to do it. And the house will go as the Father goes, because that's the way God designed it. I know there's a lot of strong women in this house and some women doing it by themselves. But that's not God's design. God's design is to have a man over the house. But you've got to be willing to take on that mantle of authority and to wield that authority. There's going to be a day when you want to tell him no and her heart is breaking. And she says, "Oh, goody." But you have to say no, because God's given you the strength to put your hand on the rudder of the ship of this household, and you make it go where God wants it to go. All right? Wives are wonderful, and they have a beautiful nurturing spirit about them, but God gave authority to the man. You're going to do this? You're going to make this an apostolic home? You've testified before the witnesses. Praise God. Praise God. You're going to show him what a godly mother looks like. You're going to show him how, because you know what? He's going to be looking for a wife that reminds him of his mom. Now, a lot of these guys are creeped out by that, but my idea of strength in a woman is going to come to me from my mom. You know, that's the way that works. You're going to demonstrate that and create an atmosphere of prayer, godliness in the household. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. And so we want to dedicate Giorgio this morning. Church, would you extend your hands toward them? Pray for this family and pray for this baby. Lord God, look upon the family now. Look upon this household, this new baby, on Brother Augustine and Sister Abby, God, and all this extended family. Bless them, God. Lay your hand of strength upon them. Cause them, oh God, to be mighty in the kingdom and to project this kingdom into another generation. Your word promises it. Your word declares it, oh God, that one generation shall declare thy power to another. Do it, oh God, in this household and in this family. I pray that you would do it in the name above every name. Give them wisdom, I pray for Augustine, wisdom and strength and understanding. I pray for them, oh God, that they have all that they need to raise this child up in the kingdom of God. I pray for Abby, oh God, that you would touch her and bless her. Cause her prayer life to be dynamic, oh God. Cause her to walk in holiness, Lord. Cause her, Lord, to be an example of the kingdom. And I ask that you do it in the name above every name. Your hedge about them, your hand of blessing on them. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And all the church said amen. Praise God. Let's give God praise. Let's give him thanks for it. Blessed be your name, mighty God. Glory to your name, mighty God. Praise God. God bless you. Beautiful day. Wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. If you're a guest here, we're so glad that you came. I want you to come back and make yourself at home. Be sure to come by and give little Giorgio the right hand of Christian fellowship.